So now my laptop is full, the phone is full, with just enough space to make videos. And now I'm left. Now I'm actually saving videos from my phone to like 15-year-old, or yeah, I think it's like 15-year-old external hard drive. It's still working. It's a HDD, 320. I think it's from my original, the original notebook I had. So it's over 15 years old, this hard HDD. It when I and it, even as an external drive, it's almost 15 years old. So hey, how old could it possibly be? Even as an external, like in the external, I got the external case maybe over 10 years ago, I think. Is that possible? Or at least 5 years ago. Anyway, the HDD is like 15 years old. It's like as old, I don't know how it's still working, but I take care of all my stuff. I try to learn how to care for stuff, and so the HDD is still working, but that's the only way I can save videos now, from my phone to the external HDD. So I'm going to have to go through the laborious process of trying to upload these videos. So I was just all admin stuff I shouldn't have to deal with. Anyway, so, geez, I should get a haircut. Even when my hair's totally short, it finds a way to irritate me. It looks stupid. Everything's plotting against me, including my own hair. The conspiracy of hair. The hair conspiracy. And it's not even big hair conspiracy, it's little hair conspiracy. Okay. Yeah, so scalar sound is meaningless because any frequency, all harmonics are whole number multiples of the original. You take any frequency, multiply by a whole number, and you have it's up that up harmonic. You double it for the first harmonic, then you have the second harmonic, third harmonic. You don't double it every time. You just. See, I'm a bit unclear about that. I've got to check my thing. But I know a whole number of multiples are harmonics. But the first one you get by doubling it. And in my own head, I would always double it. Again, I said that in my video. You double it and double it and double it. But I think they're just whole number of multiples of the original. That's all they are. And so this is why you can talk. This is why, like I said, the lizard ear can resonate with very high frequencies, which the more evolved mammalian ear doesn't resonate with. But your brain steps down the frequency to lower octaves, dividing by whole numbers, the frequency, until you get to a frequency that the brain does recognize. You know, it's a matter of the brain says, I really wish I could have a curriculum and move you through this step by step. Because I really feel that if you're stumbling on one video, you're not going to make any sense of it and you're not going to get any value from it. And you're going to think, I don't make any sense, but I do. You think, what's he talking about? There's some guy who left a comment saying, I'm mad because I'm talking about reptiles that live forever, that are immortal, that only die if they have an accident, if something kills them, you know, if they run out of food and water. But this is common knowledge, people. Ask your zoologist. There's species of fish, and it's either crocodiles or alligators, and it's important because one of them eat you and the other one don't. There are alligators in the little pool in Kakadu, you can actually see them. And they're harmless to people. But crocodiles, on the other hand, somewhere else in the desert will eat you. So it's crocodile and alligator is a big difference when it comes to importance. It's like magic mushrooms and healthy mushrooms. But it's amazing how hard the ground is, how hard packed the ground is, but the mushrooms push their way up through it. It's bizarre. So many mushrooms here, but they get maggots or worms really quickly. So you got to open them and check them that they're fresh, brand new. And then you can eat them, you know. And they grow up in really hard soil. It's not to be expected. Like I couldn't use my fingers to get through the soil, But the mushroom just grows up through it, you know? Really odd, unsurprising. Anyway, so crocodiles and alligators, like magic mushrooms, very, very important to know the difference. But in this context, I can't remember which one it is, but one of them, crocodiles or alligators, and lots of fish, species of fish, will have no built-in death. Yeah? They just grow older and bigger until they either die from lack of food or water, or they're predated, killed by a predator, or killed by some accident. And there's people who just don't, who just won't even look up. I said to the guy, I said, or the person, I said, just do some research. You're ignorant, you know? And he was mocking me, you know? And most people would accept that. They would say, oh, yeah, this is laughable. There's no animals that live forever. But it's just a fact, you know? Anyway, so I wanted to, what was it I wanted to re-explain? Because you probably don't have a clue what I'm talking about. It's, anyway, okay, back to the straw man. The counterfeits. If the only experience you have of something is the counterfeit, the fake, which is crap, then it's easy to see why people are going to say, oh no, that thing is crap. Because their experience of it, they've only got experience of the crap version of it. And that's what they've done. Like I said, Forex and hedge funds that have nothing to do with hedging, you know, with hedge funds are to do with the management of financial currency market risk. That's what they were, in theory, set up for. And there are some people who use them for that. If you've got a really big company, then you'll have a hedge fund. You'll have a Forex manager who it's a form of insurance policy, foreign exchange futures and options contracts. It's a way to minimize your risk associated with your exposure to foreign exchange markets. And if you import or export raw materials or finished products, then you have to manage the risk of fluctuations in the cost of your imports and in the money you're going to get for your exports, because it's all based on foreign exchange fluctuations, changes in the exchange rate. So big companies, all of them had needed to have specialists, you know, Forex specialists, people trading, buying and selling options and futures, but not as speculation, but simply to manage the risk associated with changes in currency and value of currencies. Yeah, look, anyone wants to criticize me for losing the plot here? No, nobody attempt. There's not a single person on YouTube or anywhere on the web who's attempting the holistic ambition that I'm attempting, holistic enterprise, you know. They might cover one area really well, but they're totally oblivious to the rest. And you can't afford to be oblivious to anything. This is a Glasperlenspiel, yeah, a glass bead game, if you've read Hermann Hesse, the glass bead game. For most people, the closest thing to Glasperlenspiel is people would say four-dimensional chess or five-dimensional chess, you know, but there's only three dimensions. But Glasperlenspiel is the game. Read the book from Hermann Hesse. Read the Steppenwolf and then read Glasperlenspiel. Ideally in German, if not, then in a good English translation. But what I'm doing is a Glasperlenspiel. It's a glass big game. It's multi-levels, it's multi-level chess, and so it's really hard to keep track of all the bits and pieces. And I really wish I could develop a curriculum and lead you through it, you know, step by step, starting at the very beginning, because it's a very good place to start. Very confusing for me. Do re deer, do a deer. What now? A female deer. Ray, a drop of falling sun. Because my name's Raybach, and Ray means deer in German. So, do a deer, Ray? Why isn't Ray a deer?
doe.
Ray a deer. A female deer. Doe a deer, a female deer. Ray a male deer. Doesn't work as well. Anyway, starting at the very beginning is a very good place to start. As the great philosopher Maria from Sound of Music reminds us. But anyway, I don't get a chance to do that. So it'd be easy to make fun of me and parody me. And especially take screenshots of me from the worst angles during my videos. And you can make me look really stupid and sound really stupid and really incoherent. But I'm attempting something that no one else is attempting. Even if in the parts there are other people who are as good as me at individual parts of what I'm doing, and there might even be people who are better at presenting some particular ideas, but if you get to pick just the ideas that are easy to express, and then you get a big budget to present them and time and energy, and all you do is calmly and, you know, you act like you're doing something very important, but all you're doing is talking about a tiny little thing. You pick the easiest tiny little thing to talk about, like how the Federal Reserve Bank works. You know, it's an easy thing that you can make videos about, impress people. And people go, oh, you're really coherent and really organized and your thoughts are well-structured and logical and everything. Yeah, sure. But then when you try to relate that to something that's a little bit, a lot more difficult to express and articulate and then integrate it back into the Federal Reserve system, then you go, what's he talking about? He's lost me. Oh, he's mumbling. Oh, he's incoherent. He's just babbling, you know. So if you pick the easy things to talk about, you can talk about them and make a really good impression. I picked the whole thing, and it's really hard to do, if not impossible. Straw men, it's important. Every institution we have is a counterfeit of a real thing. It's like Plato. You know, Plato has the ideal form and everything else is a copy of it. Well, we have something worse than that. We have ideal forms, like Adam Smith's classical economics is the ideal form. And we don't just have poor imitations of it. We have deliberately constructed straw men versions of it. It's like if you wanted to destroy the reputation of Nike, then you would start up a factory in Asia and you would make the worst possible counterfeit Nikes possible and then flood the market with these counterfeit Nikes. They're not just counterfeit, but they're designed to undermine the credibility and the consumer confidence and the image, and to totally ruin the reputation of Nike. You could do it by flooding the market with deliberately poorly made imitations of Nikes, so people bought your counterfeit that was designed to fail and designed to fall apart. Everyone will buy your counterfeit. They'd wear it, they'd fall apart, and they'd go, geez, Nike are crap. And that's what would stick in their mind. If you had enough money, you could destroy Nike by doing that. And then people would maybe buy your Adidas shoes. So if Adidas wanted to destroy Nike, they could do that simply by straw-manning Nike, by deliberately manufacturing not just counterfeit Nikes, but counterfeit Nikes that were designed to destroy the reputation of Nike by falling apart. You could do that. And that's what the cult of Judah has done with religion, you know, with finance, with economics, with even with democracy and with the internet now. Yeah. They produce straw men versions of everything. They've straw manned us. They've straw manned the right wing. So you'll have these really anti-Semitic ranters who have been manufactured by the cult of Judah deliberately to discredit the genuine National Socialist. Yeah? So if you can set up counterfeits that are straw men designed to ruin the reputation for the real thing. So the reputation for real classical free market economics has been destroyed. The reputation for the regulated commons has been destroyed. The reputation of finance industry has been destroyed. You could I explain in my Vegan Republic Constitution how you can set up a real currency. But money, per se, the reputation of money is being destroyed by the cult of Judah, by its counterfeit straw man money. Counterfeit straw man cult of Judah, Judaism, Christianity, Islam, even straw man communism, Marxism. There's real communism that works, yeah, when people voluntarily participate in it and choose to. Bolshevism, cult of Judah, Marxism is straw man communism. They even make sure the healthcare system in England and Australia doesn't function. You can have national healthcare that functions perfectly. It did. Yeah, but then they decided, well, we want private healthcare because we can make a lot of money and control people, and it's not democratic. Once it's private insurance, we have control of all your data, for example. And under a government system, there have to be privacy rules. The private sector doesn't have privacy rules. So we totally undermine the whole concept of national healthcare by making sure the healthcare system fails. Yeah, like with the fake pandemics and stuff. So they're even straw manning national healthcare, and they're straw manning even education. They're straw manning everything. They're producing deliberately faulty, deliberately crappy fakes of the real thing. Yeah, to undermine the reputation of the real thing. And it was really important that I explain all those things, because it's hard for me to keep them on the tip of my tongue. And I can't just, every time someone mentions something straw man, or I want to talk about straw men, I cannot remember everything that I've been talking about in this video. You know, people ambush you with stuff, you know, and they ask the most difficult questions, and then when you can't give the simple, precise answer, they go, oh, see, you don't have an answer. Anyway, so that's why you make the videos, because I can't remember all these things and hold them in my head and remember them at the right time. But hopefully, so what I'm saying is, even myself at any given point in time won't be able to remember all this important stuff about straw man argument. And you probably haven't even considered any of it, yeah, or most of it. And you probably just look up a definition of straw man, and it's an argument set up to be destroyed. So when it comes to arguments, they misrepresent all of our arguments on YouTube now. They say they're debunking, and I made videos about this, they claim they're debunking something. What they're doing is debunking the straw man version of it. They set up a straw man version of something, then they debunk it, because that straw man version was set up to make it as easy as possible to debunk it. And then people think, oh, the straw man version's been debunked. That means the real version has been, the authentic version has been debunked. But no, all they've done is deliberately manufacture a straw man version of an argument. They've presented it as the argument itself, not the fake. They've said, this is the authentic Nike product. It's not. It's the deliberately faulty manufactured counterfeit product. And then they say, look, they prove that this counterfeit Nike product is crap. And then people just say, yeah, Nike is crap. They do the same with our arguments. They set up a faulty, deliberate counterfeit argument, say, this is the real argument, let's have a look at it. They debunk the counterfeit argument, and they prove the counterfeit argument is crap, because it was crap, it was designed to be crap. Yeah? And then they say, now we've debunked the straw man, everyone's going to assume, oh, they've debunked the real argument. They'll have no idea that all they've been dealing with is a straw man version of it. Jeez, another 20 minutes. Okay, so I know these videos are valuable, but I also know their presentation is poor. And that comes down to me being not having the resources I need and not having the support I need. But doing what I can do, and this is what I can do, and you can criticize it, it's, in a sense, it's almost a straw man version of what I can do. But the actual essential arguments are there if you're willing to hear them, yeah, and see them. For those with eyes to see and those with ears to hear. But I do admit I'm making a bad impression even for everything I'm talking about, even for the our side of the whole issue, because of a lack of resources. And it's a shame. Yeah, it's a terrible shame. All these videos should have been made professionally. I should have been able to make a good visual impression. I should have been able to make a good verbal impression. I should have been able to line up the arguments really coherently, and develop the argument really logically and clearly and smoothly, you know, and produce the best Nike shoe I could. But instead, under the conditions, I've produced a Nike shoe, which is pretty good given the conditions I produced it under, but really reflects badly on what I could have done. Yeah. So, you know, it's a double-edged sword making these videos. For the right people, I'm communicating, I'm sharing ideas, and I'm contributing. For the wrong people, they can use the bad presentation and the incoherence and the scatterbrain in our presentation against me and against us. So, you know, yeah, but I can only do what I can do. So anyway, so I'll try to it's so hard to organize these videos and even process them. And then I have to go upstairs and spend hours sitting on a hard chair in the heat and cold and smelling a cat piss and people walking past. Crazy people sometimes, you know, really, there's a lot of strange people here. It's very low rent, with a frustratingly slow internet, or go to the supermarket and hang around there for an hour using their Wi-Fi and looking very suspicious. And anyway, complaining. Yeah. Please help me. Help Marcus. No, but yeah, it is what it is. Hey, okay. Ciao for now. While the video is processing, not only do I have to try to keep ideas in my head to maintain my train of thought, but also new ideas come to me. I remember something I wanted to talk about. But it's interesting that Bonacci talks about the term abrasive. Abrasive. Me? Abrasive? Marcus? Me? Oh, I'm shocked. Someone called me abrasive, but yeah, I have to warn people, I can be abrasive, and sometimes I'll be considered abrasive, which means not slimy and weaselly and fake enough, you know, but direct. But aboriginal means from the original. So Australian Aborigines, actually they're from Indonesia, but you know, if you tell a Native American Indian that they're not from the land, or the Aborigines in Australia, they're not the original, their ancestors didn't originate in Australia. Or if you tell a Maori their ancestors did not originate in New Zealand, that they came from somewhere else, you get in trouble. So Aborigine means from the original. So Ab-Ra means from Ra. Everything is from the sun. Yeah, the rays of the sun, like in Akhenaten Satanism, everything comes from the sun, all life, apart from the life, the silicon-based life forms at the sulfur vents on the floor of the oceans, where there are volcanic vents. All other life is based on the sun, more or less, ultimately. So Ab-Ra. Everything is from the sun, Abra. We have abracadabra. You know, it's magic. Abracadabra. Abracadabra. A, B, C, D. Yeah, the power of language. The power of a narrative. The power of the cult of Judah is words. In the beginning was the word. The powerful word, abracadabra, A, B, C, D, yeah? Words are power, narrative, stories. That's where the real power is. The real power is not in the muscles or the swords, but it's in the narratives that can get people to take their muscles, to beat their plowshares into swords, and then to use the swords to go and kill each other. to the prophet of the cult of Judah. That's where the real power is. Yeah, not in the sword. The power is in the word. Muhammad is quoted as saying that one scribe is worth 10,000 soldiers. Yeah. Abracadabra. Write it down. Abracadabra. A-B, Ab, Ra, Ka, C, D, Dab, A, B, C, D, Abracadabra. That's what magic is all about, and gematria and all that stuff. Abrasive, yeah. Abraxas, I've got to look up what Abraxas is, but there seems to be some god or something. Abraxas, Abraham, Abraham, Abraxas, Abraxas. Abrasive. Just interesting. Abrasive. Try to get online. Back to the point. Yeah. Straw man. Abrasive. Abra. Language. The narrative. The power is the narrative. Oh, yeah, yeah. While I'm on it, I have to say something. Remember, a harmonic is a whole number multiple of the fundamental. So if you take any frequency and multiply it by any whole number, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1,000, you'll get to the upper harmonics. And so if you want to do that little experiment with the orbital cycles of the planets, say, for example, the moon, you say it's 28 days. So to get that into hertz, this is a simple way. It takes time to think things through. But I was thinking about it the other night, during the night. If you divide 28 days to get to the number of seconds, so find what 28 days is in terms of seconds. And hertz is repeats per second. So if an orbit of the moon repeats every 28 days, how many times per second is that? So it's what you end up is a very small fraction of a hertz. A tiny fraction. But if you write that fraction as a decimal, what's 28 days? So 28 divided by 24. No, 28 was divided. 28 divided by, or was it times? I know it ends up a small fraction because it's a really big cycle. So it gets smaller. So I say divided by? Yeah. So 28 divided by 28 days, so 28 divided by 24, divided by 60, divided by 60, gets you down to seconds. I should be able to do this on the computer, but, you know. So 28 divided by 24, divided by 60, divided by 60, gets you down to seconds. That's a small decimal. All you do is remove the decimal point, yeah? So it'll be 0.0000 something. So just remove the zeros on the left and you're left with a number. And if that number is under 20, then all you do is double it or multiply it by any whole, first double it. Or all you have to do is multiply by any whole number. Yeah, until it's a number greater than 20. Which means it's a frequency that you can hear, that your brain will render as sound. So I'll write this up if I remember. But so remember, whatever that I'm, so it's 28 days divided by 24 hours divided by 60 minutes. Divided by 60 seconds. Oh shit. I've got this number 32400041e to the minus 4. I don't know how to understand that number. Oh, hang on. Because it's 1.166 and then 0.199 and 3.2 to the. I wish they would just stick to using the same nomenclature. So I don't even know what that number means. But if I'm assuming that minus 4 is about zeros, then 32, for example, is the 32, I'd end up with 32 hertz. Isn't that bizarre? 28 ends up 32. I've got to check those numbers. 12 over 7. 12 divided by 7 equals... Yeah, I wonder if... I've got to check those numbers that Tesla loves. The toroidal mathematical numbers. Because 1.71428571428574... I've got to check if those numbers relate, how those relate to the numbers Tesla loved, the toroidal mathematics numbers. Because he said everything comes down to these particular numbers. Oh, geez. See, if I had the resources, I could do so much. But then again, I'd be, I don't know. See, sometimes I can't find anything worth applying my mind to. And so I get back to music and other things. Then I stumble upon information, which is very promising and leads me somewhere. Then I'm overloaded because I have too much to do and I don't have any Wi-Fi access and I don't have any memory. Okay, so, yeah, it seemed... Anyway, so I don't know why my... this. Maybe I set the calculator up differently, but I don't know what -4 means in a number. But if you take, if you get a decimal number and just take away the decimal, if you divide 28 by 24 by 60 by 60... to get down to the number of, see, the number of how many seconds it takes for the moon to move around the sun. It takes 28 days. How many, what's that in seconds? Yeah? And that tells you how many times per second the moon moves around the sun. So it's a very tiny fraction. But all you do is take away the decimal point and then double the number. If you take away the decimal point and you've already got a number bigger than 20, which is... 20 hertz is the minimum you can hear. Your brain will render a sound. So for me to talk, it's so frustrating because I hate reinforcing official narratives and obfuscating people. I can't just say a sound you can hear because there's no sound and you don't hear. You construct. Yeah, you render. It's just like saying your computer doesn't hear the color blue. It renders the color blue from data. Which I'm going to get back to. I guess I'm a little bit scared too. I'm like everyone else. I'm terrified of failure, of being an idiot, you know. So I'll go back to my videos that were very promising. I just hope that people continue. People don't continue and develop an idea. What they do is they cherry pick. They find something in an official narrative that they find easy to understand it and easy to teach. So they teach that. And then when it gets to the point where, okay, so next step, how does that relate to that? Oh, no, that's too hard, so I'll just get back to teaching something easy. So the textbooks and the teachers and the tutorials, they often teach the easiest stuff. And the thing that you really need to explain, nobody teaches, which is what I do. So I'm going to have to go back and, because I want to follow the whole logical, so it's binary first, you know, understand binary numbers, and then the how you write binary numbers and that you can assign anything a binary number, that much I get. So instead of saying the cat sat on the mat, you know, you have logical processes whereby tapping certain numbers represent letters, then certain combinations of letters represent words. Then the thing that's going to boggling my mind is how I can write, you know, the machine compiler, how can I write a sentence and say, take all cats that are blue and put them in the red room, you know, sort of. How the hell does that translate into zeros and ones, just a series of zeros and ones, a zero of numbers? But it's all beautiful. See, it's like on-off, or not even on-off. Charge above 5 millivolts, charge below 5 millivolts. You know, and a series of these things ends up meaningful. And, you know, obviously the meaning is always in the last, in the person, you know, the mind of the person. But if there's, if, anyway, oh, geez, abrasive? Yeah, I wanted to talk about, quickly about, remember I keep wanting you that Tellison, Michael Tellison fixates on sound. There's no sound. There's a bandwidth, electromagnetic bandwidth, which the brain renders as sound. There are no sounds in the universe, only that. There are electromagnetic frequencies. There are electromagnetic pulsations in the universe. This idea that every vowel has its own toroidal field, okay, could be true. But it's interesting to me because are we producing spherical pulses of energy that expand in three dimensions around my head? Yeah, that's there's audio engineers who don't even understand that. But okay, there's the spheres, or is it the vibration of the particles? Not particles, but is it vibrations, disturbances in the field that don't actually keep expanding, but they do. Oh, it's funny when people make comments on my videos or on other people's videos or in their videos, and that they can talk about what we call sound bubbles, or they can talk about something else in terms of spherical pulses. But when it comes to sound, which is the most obvious case of a spherical pulse, they have a problem because they're just so fixated on sound, this waveform, the plotting of amplitude over time, because it's such a handy little artifact to deal with, you know. It's so useful for visualizing phase relationships, for example. And I tried, and I made a video, which you haven't got yet because it's on my computer. Haven't had the heart to upload it yet because it's so much work. And I've been so sick lately, and it will make me sick uploading it. But I made a really good video about an alternative way of thinking of phase relationships, or visualizing phase relationships without the artifact of the waveform, because it's really obfuscating. It's like a crutch, you know. It makes it so easy to visualize phase relationships that you become dependent on it. And you forget that it's just an artifact. That's not a real thing you're talking about. Whereas my ways of visualizing phase relationships are real, and they're not obfuscating. So wait for that video. It's quite a long video with me moving my hands about. But for those people who understand what I'm talking about, I think the video will be a revelation. A revelation, you know, like I saw God, you know. But the revelation I'm looking for is in program computing, you know, how you get zeros and ones on off switches, changes of a state, a reflexive change of state. There's no positive and negative. There's no nothing and something, because there's always something. You know, nothing is the naughty number, the evil naughty number. And apparently the number zero wasn't even invented by the, because the number zero we associate with the Arabs, but they got it from India, and apparently the Indians got it from the Mayans. Yeah? Maybe the Indians got the number, well, whether they both came up with it, but apparently the Mayans also, also or only invented the number zero. Yeah, the Mayans. Because they had the biggest, see, the funny thing about, one of the very fascinating things about ancient cultures is they, like the Indians and the Mayans, they used fucking huge numbers, you know, that make a total mockery of the cult of Judah idea that the universe is 6,000, or the world is 6,000 years old or something. You know, and the Mayans and the Indians, I mean on the Indian continent, not the American Indians, the Mayans and the Indians had these huge, that's why we use the word astronomical numbers, because they used them in their astronomy. So an astronomical figure, you know, the Mayans and the Indians, ancient Mayans and Indians, were using astronomical numbers. They're just mind-boggling for people in the West, or for the cult of Judah people, religion people, cults, you know. Why would you have a number for a trillion years, you know? How can you talk in time cycles of you know, great years of 29,200 years or something? You know, that's why they needed the zero. That's how the zero came about, the mother of necessity is the mother of invention. When the earth, when the world's only 6,000 years old, you don't need zero so much. You can get away with other systems. But when you're talking about astronomical figures, literally, you know, of tens of thousands of years and millions of years even in the Indian traditions, you know, they need the zero. Anyway, so where am I getting to? Yeah, even zeros and ones are reflexive. There's no positive, negative. There's no zero, one. There's no light and dark. There's no... But there is relative, you know, not in the sense of Einstein. I love all the guys making the videos now saying, how is Einstein like me? If you go back to my videos, you'll see. And don't think that I got any of my ideas from these other people, because I've only stumbled upon these other people. But now I find people on YouTube saying, why is Einstein even a scientist? Well, they're not even saying that, but I did. So what is, how can Einstein be called a scientist? He invented nothing. He discovered nothing. He proved nothing. He generated nothing. He talks about nothing. Why is he a scientist? Well, because he supports the cult of Jewish narratives, you know, just happens to be Jewish too. And he stole, some people say he stole his ideas from some French, I think, mathematician, and other ones, which I'm interested in, the feminist, if you're a feminist, you'll like this one. A lot of people think his wife wrote most of his mathematics, yeah? And, like, I debunked time dilation within minutes of hearing about it, and I've written about it in my books and made in my videos, so I won't talk about that here. But it's important, because you'll see when I end up in one of my videos, they talk about quantum compression and dilation, and to do with aerofoil. And it's very important in terms of quantum electricity, how they claim electricity works, current works. Yeah. Oh, shit. This really productive stuff that I'm getting into. And I hope if they put me in prison or something, they at least give me access to the some alternate narratives. Because soon all the alternative narratives about everything will disappear. Like I said, the people, when they came for us, when they came for the Holocaust deniers and the 9/11 truthers and stuff, when they came for us, everyone else was silent. They go, oh, that's okay. Some censorship is okay. And then, you know, there is no, you cannot say a little bit of torture is okay. Or you can't say torture is okay under certain circumstances. Because they will always, always, always be able to construct a narrative to meet the circumstances which you define. If you say torture is bad, it's evil, unacceptable, but under this circumstance, then when they come to you and say, we need approval for torture, they're always going to frame their request using the exact conditions, the exact language of your but, your exception to the rule. Exclusive exceptional entitlement. That includes exclusive exceptional entitlement to torture under certain conditions. They're always going to claim, oh, these, we do have these particular conditions under which you said torture was okay. And then you'll sign off on the torture. And you'll say, oh, because it's okay, because it's exceptional, exclusive condition. They'll always write a narrative that meets your condition, and they'll present you with a narrative to make your exception to the rule apply to this case. I hope you understand what I meant. You cannot have any censorship. You cannot have any torture. Either you say, yeah, we torture everyone because it's good, and we'll censor everybody who we don't like, or you say there's no censorship and no torture. Because they're always going to be able to frame and construct a narrative to meet the conditions that you set out in your exceptional exclusive definition of when torture is okay, when censorship is okay. Yeah, when censorship is a necessary evil, when torture is a necessary evil. Every time they want to torture someone or censor someone, they will always frame their request for censorship or torture exactly using the language that you've defined the exception as. They will write a narrative. They will set up a narrative. They will blow up a building. They will do something. They will murder lots of people, all to meet the conditions that you've set out under which torture or censorship is necessary evil. They will produce the necessary evil to justify this necessary evil you have laid out. You can never have exceptions to a rule. You must have a principle. If you don't have a principle, you have jack shit. Yeah, they're always going to find a narrative that will justify any action they like if you allow for exceptions. Okay, this video, ooh, it's getting too long. Okay, so yeah, I didn't get to Tellison. This fixation on sound, this idea that vowels have a toroidal field, and I do not have not yet to work out what he meant by what they mean by scalar sound. He says it's just like a scale, and he seems to be talking about harmonics. Well, harmonics are just full. Harmonics are whole number multiples of the fundamental. Take any frequency and multiply it by a whole number, and you get its upper harmonics. Yeah, which is why, and it works the other way around too, apparently. So your ear, not your ear, but your reptilian ear, you have two ears, actually. The reptilian, like you have things which are reptilian brain, you have a reptilian ear that will resonate with much higher, the upper octaves of any frequency. And then your brain will decode an upper octave back down to the lowest, highest frequency that you render a sound. I hope that makes sense. See, people say, yeah, right? I've tried not to say that, but I hope that makes sense. Go back and listen to it, watch my videos. But if you take a upper harmonic and keep dividing it by whole numbers till you get to a frequency within what we call the audio 20 hertz to 20 kilohertz. If you take the upper harmonic, which is too high for quote unquote hearing, and you keep dividing it by whole numbers until you get to a frequency, you know, a lower harmonic of it, a lower division of it that is in the audio bandwidth, and then your brain will render that. So that's why you can hear electricity, because it's effectively in the upper harmonic of a fundamental within your hearing range. And the lizard part, there's a lizard ear in there, which I go into in other videos, and you can read The Invisible Rainbow. There's a lizard ear which resonates with really high frequencies, and then the brain mathematically lowers it down to like a step-down transformer. It steps it down to a lower harmonic of the high frequency that's within your hearing range, and then it renders that as a frequency within your hearing range. So really the frequency might be 100 times higher than what you should be able to hear. And so this lizard part resonates with that, even at really high frequencies, and then the brain steps it down to a divisor, I don't know how to put it, the word is, but the opposite of the multiple, the divisor, it divides it down by whole numbers, it steps it down to a frequency within the bandwidth that you'd normally hear. So it does, and I suggested this even in some videos from years ago, that this could be how the ear works, and it seems to be how it does. Anyway, so scalar sound is what he's calling it. I really don't have a clue what he's talking about, but it's just an example of if you fixate on something and don't understand what you're talking about and don't use precision in language, you can end up down some really weird rabbit holes. So I don't know what they're talking about by scalar sound, but if writing nasty words on a piece of paper and sticking it on water can change the structure of the water, then surely the intention with which you utter a word can have an impact on people. And it's obvious. Your facial gestures, you can say beautiful words and have an ugly, horrible, aggressive, vicious, nasty, malicious face. And your malicious face will convey the message behind your beautiful words. You know, if you're saying, oh, I love you, you fucking piece of shit. Sorry, how can I say it? But anyway, if your face says, I hate you, and your words say, I love you, if your face says, oh, you're beautiful. No, if your face says, oh, you're disgusting and I can't stand being near you, but your words say, oh, you're so beautiful, I love you. Obviously, the facial gesture is going to be the dominant message that people get, that you don't think they're beautiful and you don't love them. You think you loathe them and hate them and find them unbearable to be near. And it's the same with your voice. You can say the same words with a different tone and inflection, and it sounds sarcastic, or it can sound genuine, or it can sound malicious and horrible, it can sound aggressive, or it can sound peaceful, it can sound loving, or it can sound hateful, the same words. So clearly the intention behind it, which affects all these micro muscles, facial gestures, and micro tones, you know, so that what you say, how you're thinking when you're saying something, what you intend in what you're saying, will obviously impact how it sounds. And it's a very complex way to do, way all these micro muscles, and it's amazing how many muscles there are. You just someone's eye, just watch it, focusing on their eye, the slight changes in the pupil dilation and things, and the brightness, people's eyes can shine with joy. Or you can look at the eyes of a zoo animal, look like mine now. The seals in the zoo in Rostock, just their eyes were so mournful, and I just wanted to take that seal and take it out to the ocean, you know, because it looks so sad, and you can convey so much. Anyway, so the intention you have when you're saying something, what you really mean, of course, is going to change the impact of your words on other people, and in ways which are very complex to explain and understand and talk about, articulate. But what scalar sound is, I've got no idea real on it, what he's on about there, what his point is. But all these people, you watch videos on YouTube, and the people who are successful on YouTube, they interview someone who's saying, look, really, I see no hope. The situation's hopeless, you know. And then after they finish the interview, the people who run the channel say, well, I disagree with them about that, you know. Because obviously it's a circle jerk with reach around, and the reach around is, oh, no, I think there's reason for hope. Oh, no, I think there's reason for optimism. You know, they don't give their reasons why for hope or optimism, because there is no reason for hope or optimism. It's a really shitty planet with shitty people repeating history, and the shit's coming back. You know, there's no reason to be hopeful and optimistic. If you want to join the circle jerk reach around of the new ages and saying, oh, the aliens are going to save us, or the Messiah's coming, or the Mahdi's coming, or the second coming, or the rapture, or something's going to save us, you know, then that's where you'll get your hope and your optimism from. But it's all fake. It's all counterfeit. And that's where I have to stop this video and get back to straw man, because it's all about counterfeits. Yeah. Okay.